God is sovereign. And what does it mean to say God is sovereign? God is all powerful. God has power over all things. And so the psalmist, and it's the Psalm of David, I believe the psalmist writes, it says, divine majesty and human dignity. And the psalmist begins by saying, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name. You have set your glory above the heavens. And then he says, when I look at the heavens, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? What are us? What are we? What are we that God are mindful of us? And God has made us lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. And then the psalmist says, and you have given them dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under their feet, under our feet, all the sheep and the oxen, all the animals in the field and the sea, and when whatever passes along the paths. And when the psalmist think of it again, he says, O Lord, O our sovereign, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Have you ever thought of the majesty of God? Have you ever just sit and ponder God's greatness? And yet we could pray to God, and we expect God to listen to us, and God have created everything. One writer says, the majesty of the universe. He says, on a YouTube video, astronomer Dr. Peter Edwards explains the majesty of the universe. You will never, ever get your head around how big the universe is. You know when they had that space thing that just went up, those rich folks, Bezos, whatever his name is, and the other guy from England, and they were competing. They haven't even touched the tip of the universe, right? They haven't even touched the tip because they're nowhere near the sun, you know. So they haven't even touched the tip. So the writer, he's an astronomer, and he says, it is just enormous. There is no way, I think, that the human mind can comprehend the true immensity of the universe. We are happy with the size of an elephant, or the size of a tree, or maybe even the size of a cathedral. But if we go beyond that, our brains just start to run out of gas. We cannot imagine how magnificent the earth is. He continues. He says, we pointed the Hubble telescope at what appeared to be a very ordinary patch of the night sky. And if you imagine holding your finger with a grain of sand on it and looking at the patch of the sky, that grain of sand blocks out. That's the field that the Hubble telescope zoom into. Therefore, he's saying what the Hubble telescope zoom into was just like a grain of sand in our hands. He says what the telescope saw was incredible. There are 10,000 galaxies in a patch of sky, the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length. If this tiny patch of sky is like every other, then we can calculate how many galaxies are out there. The visible universe contains around 100 billion galaxies. Now, this is what Creator God has done. 100 billion galaxies. Each one of those galaxies contains around 100 billion stars. We cannot even imagine. That means the visible universe contains something like 10 million, million, million stars. That means there are more stars in the visible universe than there are grains of sand on earth. Can you imagine? More stars in the universe. And so we especially when we're entering a new year, we should take the time to think of the majesty of God, the power of God, and yet still God takes care of us. Amen? Amen. Yet still, I always say I'm a dot in the universe. Always said I'm just a little dot in the universe. Now I realize I'm less than a dot. Right? Less than a dot in the universe. Yet God will find me, listen to me, when I call out to him, and I'm less than a dot. Yet God will look after us. So my first point is that God, number one, God power, God has power. The universe is immense, but God created it all just by speaking a word. Just by speaking of, you know, this is what the scientists fight against all the time, right? They don't believe it. We understand that the world, that the story from Genesis to Revelation is a narrative of about a people, that the world existed before what we see in Genesis. It tells us the beginning, that in the beginning was the world. That's that part of the world existing. But the story that we pick up on, those folks come much later on, right? It is just God created the world. That's what Genesis says at the beginning of Genesis, yes. And then within the book of Genesis, we begin to hear the narrative of a people, right? Just one group of people. Number two, human worth. We see that in Psalm 8. Our earth and its population is just a tiny, remote speck in a vast universe. But God loves us. Can you imagine how many people are in the world? I mean, do we believe that when we pray to God, God hears us? Do we believe that, friends, tonight? Is that why you're here? Because we believe that if we're just one little speck in the universe, but to God we're not. Each and every one of us is what? Unique and important. Right? When they take our fingerprints, right? If you have the same fingerprints as somebody, guess what? Something is strange, isn't it? It says all our fingerprints are different and all our dental records are different. Isn't that amazing that God can do this? This is the God who walks with us and talks with us. Number three, God eminence. God knows each and every one of us by name. We see that in John 10:3. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Can you believe? Even when we're going a little bit balding as we get older. Some of us have to sew hair in or something on and touch it up and perk it up. He knows every hair that we lose. Any man in here bald, and some of we women, you'll never know that we're bald because we're going to take care of it. But that would stand in. The Lord knows every hair on our head. He knows the folks in India. He knows the folks in Jamaica. He knows the folks in the U.S. Isn't that amazing? That alone would blow my mind, wouldn't it? That's our God. The writer says, and he knows our words and our deeds. Before we can act, he knows it. And number four in this section, God sent his son to bridge the eminence gap to bring us to himself. That God would want a relationship with us, that God would do that and bring us to himself. So therefore, God is great and powerful. When one says God is omnipotent, Alpha and Omega. Do you know sometimes when you're saying your prayers and when you're praying to God and you're glorifying God? Have you ever done that to you? Remember these words when you're glorifying him? When you want your prayers to have power, right, and reach heaven. He's not always just going to God and says, give me, this is sick, this is not sick, and I'm sick. And it's not always. He's just going to God and tell God how magnificent he is. Have you ever done that? Oh, Lord God, you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are everlasting. You are Elohim. You are my provider. You are. Amen. You just tell him. Right? You're glorifying him. You are my provider. You are my healer. You are my peace. You are my righteousness. And you are glorifying God. You know you don't have the words to tell him, but you use the words that you know. Amen? Because God is mighty, God is all powerful. And though God sets limits on all of creation, God himself is limitless in strength and wisdom, love, holiness, and the ability to perform his sovereign will. God is limitless. That is the God we serve. And when we put God back into where we are, we say, God is good. You know that little song that says, God is good, God is good, God is so good. God is good. The fact that God is good means that God has no evil in him. God's intentions and motivations are always good. He always does what is right, and the outcome of his plan is always good. When I am praying for someone and they're very sick and I am praying, I've learned to take this bold step, and I say, God, you do what is best for them, because you and you alone knows what is best for them. Right? I don't say to God, God, but this is what I want and you should do it. I figure I cannot know everything that person needs, but God knows what is best for me, what is best for each of every one of us. And if we say we really trust God, and that this is my next point. I want to pick up this other point here. It says, there is nothing unpleasant, evil, or dark in God. The Bible teaches that God's goodness extends from his nature to everything that he does. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Our God is good. And now we know that God is trustworthy. How do we know God is trustworthy? Did you trust him in 2022? Friends, speak up now. You could nod your head or you could speak. This is not a silent thing. Nobody here is dumb. You don't have to do any silent to me. Was God been good to you in 2022? Are you expecting him to be good to you in 2023? Yes. Amen. So, and we could trust him because we see that he has been good to us. Amen. Yes. Trust the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. A faithful God. And as I try to bring this home, last point is God keeps track of every one of us. Every one of us. And those of us who believe, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Already written. And Psalm 139 reminds us. I love this psalm. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go, Lord? If I go to the heavens, you are there. You know, if you go to the very heavens, God is there. I'm just picking up from verse 7. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I raise up on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. God could find us in darkness. Do you know that's how he could show up in? He shows up in drug houses. He shows up when people are strung out on drugs or in all kinds of places of ill repute. He shows up and he finds them in dire need and suffering, because not even darkness can stop God from finding his children. Amen. That's a hope for parents sometimes who are looking for their children, who are waiting for their children or their child to accept Jesus Christ. God knows everything, you know. I'll share a little story. I take a point of personal privilege, as we'll say when we're in meeting. I remember some years back when I was, the Lord had called me, was calling me. I wasn't going willingly. As I closed, was calling, you know, I thought, why, you know? I want to do other things. You know how story's long, I'm not going to get into it. I didn't think being a preacher was all that, you know. I thought I was, you know, smarter than that and all of that. You know, you think so much of yourself. Well, anyway, I was at that time I was separated, and I'll just say something. I was separated, and the Lord knows the story, so I could share it, and you could write it in your book, and it'll be a bestseller as I wrap up. Right? And so I was seeing this other guy, you know, I shouldn't, and I was separated, and so I thought, well, I could go out to dinner and all with this, because, you know. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Anyhow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I says, I could go out to, and so we went downtown. Oh, Lord, you're faithful, forgiving God. So, and we were there talking, and he was saying some things to me, and so, and I said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit took hold of me, and I says, I can't, because God is watching. And he said to me, that good-looking black man from Jamaica said to me, well, it's only you and I and God will know. Didn't faze him, because I'm sitting there, and I says, No, I can't do this because God is watching, even though I'm, and he said to me, and I'm now getting convicted. And he just took at me and said, what's the problem? Just you and I and God is going to know. I knew then and there that God had me under heavy manners. You ever hear the Jamaican says heavy manners? Means have me under control, right? And there was no budging. I knew then that as small as I thought I was in that little part of New York City in a restaurant, God's eye was upon me. And I know you all are laughing, but you all have your own story. And God's eye has been up on you. Right? And so we go into this year, next year, knowing that God's eye is upon you. So I say to folks, I try not to mess up. Not because I'm so perfect, Lord knows, but because I know God is watching. Amen? Amen. Sometimes I said, God, are you really watching? Can I just... And I could hear the Holy Spirit says, yes, we're watching. You feel it inside. Do you know what I'm saying? And it keeps me on the straight and narrow. Sometimes I'm falling off the straight. But all of a sudden, I get a hit from the Holy Spirit. Put your foot back and stay where you are. Because God is watching. And the good news about that, even though I lightened it so you could get it, is that we need God to be watching us. We need God to be taking care of us. We need God to be protecting us. Amen? Amen. We want God to be taking care of us, watching us, taking care of our children. We entrust our children to God. We entrust our homes. My God, my God. The God who created the universe. We need him. And if obeying him is what we have to do, then we must. The payback is greater. Because the payback is eternal life with him. Amen? Amen. Oh, bless him tonight. Amen.